Adding AI into the mix is going to enable a more nuanced understanding of where and when we can charge customers.
There's so much more value to unlock from an enterprise perspective as we think about system efficiency, not individual efficiency.
We imagine a world and an ecosystem of best-in-class tools. It's absolutely an ecosystem play. There's no question about it.
By utilizing AI, we are able to do things faster. We are able to do things with a lower cost to serve.
Hello, and welcome to Where AI Works, conversations at the intersection of AI and industry, brought to you by Wharton in collaboration with Accenture. I'm Sergey Nitesin, back in the hosting chair one last time for a recap and review of our second season. Our guests shared a lot of interesting insights in those four episodes, so I want to share some highlights and break down my key takeaways for you. As I've been saying all along, things are changing fast, so let's dive in. We started the season by speaking with Alan Lee, the CTO of Analog Devices. He emphasized that while a lot of focus is on the innovations at the core of AI, that is, huge large language models offered by companies such as OpenAI and Anthropic, much more innovation in the business models will be happening at the edge, where monetization involves interactions between Internet of Things, devices, and robotics with smaller AI models, more efficient, consuming less power.
I usually use an 8th grade earth science model to describe this. In the center, you have the core, and that's the large scale, massive AI systems. In between, you have the mantle, and you could think of this as industrial AI or AI for automotive, where you have enough compute power there. It's not a supercomputer, but enough compute power to do some really viable AI. And then at the edge, you have sensors, where you have phones. You have not as much compute power, usually small form factor, but you can indeed do some intelligence there. And it's not that one of these will be dominant over the other in the end. We'll have the right intelligence at the right place at the right time. And that's when we'll really be starting to extract full value from these complex systems.
In my own research, I demonstrated that contracting on performance is often beneficial. And as Alan points out, with the Internet of Things paired up with the AI, this is finally becoming easy to accomplish, and it will lead to some new business models.
Adding AI into the mix, along with, of course, big data, large computation, and AI at the edge, it really is going to enable a more nuanced understanding of where and when we can charge customers, and where do they see value, and how can we monetize and capitalize on them.
In episode 2, I discussed AI implementation in healthcare with Elad Valach, CEO of ADOC. Elad insisted that to realize true value from AI, simple applications, so-called point solutions, will need to be completely replaced by AI-first business models, such as the entire organization becomes AI-enabled. And the reason is that the benefits of AI often accrue to some part of the company other than the direct user of AI.
When we started selling point solutions, it was very easy for us to identify the buyer of the solution and the beneficiary. We had the same who's the user, who is the same as the buyer. It was very easy. We always had for this initial solution, the radiologist at heart. Over time, we started learning that actually, you have to think about it not from an individual perspective, but from a system perspective, especially as you build a platform.
So this message is consistent with the key finding of my book on business model innovation, where we conclude that misaligned incentives in a business model often lead to inefficiencies. AI can serve as a layer that aligns all the players in the business model and leads to a superior efficiency of the entire business model.
There's so much more value to unlock from an enterprise perspective as we think about system efficiency, not individual efficiency. As an example, if a radiologist needs to diagnose a brain bleed, he doesn't get paid more or less if he diagnoses it maybe an hour later. But you know who does care about it? The ED physician that is now reliant on this diagnosis to discharge the patient. So sometimes you have to think from a system perspective, the user may not be the main beneficiary.
My third guest this season was Teresa Nemeshani from Microsoft, who acknowledged that we see lots of gains from AI in writing code, individual productivity, but also in security and product innovation through data-driven product personalization. Teresa said, and I completely agree, that there is a limited window to make progress with AI for most companies out there.
Speaking with a very innovative digital native CEO, he's of the mind that there's about a 6-month window to transform their services, their products, and fundamentally the give-get value of their customer relationships with AI. And once some type of product market fit hits, they will be moving at such a velocity that it becomes impossible for competitors number 2, 3, 4 to catch up.
Teresa also told me that for all companies, managing AI should be a capability and an ecosystem play, whereby different startups and large companies come together to make AI useful.
We imagine a world and an ecosystem of best-in-class tools that are constantly up to date, you know, a place you can go and leverage the very best, the very newest. And so that's where we're making our biggest investments. We don't want to be the kingmaker of this model or that model. We want to say, developers, you tell us which are the best models. We'll make them delightful to access. It's absolutely an ecosystem play. There's no question about it.
My final guest of the season was Ajay Anand from Johnson & Johnson. He explained that experimentation is the key with AI. And we are now in the experimentation stage for most companies, mostly in very, very early stages of this experimentation.
We started out with a question or a proof of concept or experiment. And what we found was that the degree of accuracy that we were able to get by deploying Gen AI was very high. And it could truly act as a good assist for our employees who are a part of our contact center. And as we then further looked into our processes, specifically the 10 million interactions that are fragmented, is when we decided that we wanted to use this as a capability across all of our employees. So it started with an experiment and a pilot.
Ajay also referred to triple E, EEE measurement framework, experience, effectiveness, and efficiency, which is used at Johnson & Johnson to produce specific KPIs for implementation of AI.
Are we able to show that by utilizing AI, we are able to do things faster? We are able to do things with a lower cost to serve. We are seeing fewer errors associated with the work. And I'm very happy to share that what we have found is in all cases, with the work that we are doing with AI, we have seen tremendous impact across all three of those E's. And then we are able to connect them to some of our mega KPIs at a J&J level, which is what has led to very senior levels of sponsorship and excitement for this effort.
Our guests shared a lot of valuable advice and insights over the course of those conversations. But my main takeaway for business leaders is something that all of my speakers mentioned. AI implementation is not a technical problem. It is, beyond all, a leadership problem. It requires change management. It requires company to have superior experimentation capabilities. And those are essential parts of any technologically enabled transition. And in that sense, AI is not all that different from other technologies that we've seen before. If the organization lacks this fundamental capability to experiment, it will not succeed in creating an AI-driven business model. This has been season 2 of Where AI Works, conversations at the intersection of AI and industry, brought to you by Wharton in collaboration with Accenture. Thanks so much for listening. Please follow us so you don't miss an episode. In just 2 weeks, we'll be launching season 3, hosted by my great colleague Peter Capelli at Wharton. He will be focusing on how AI is transforming workplaces. And of course, if you haven't listened to every episode from season 1 or 2, I'd really encourage you to do so. I am Sergey Nitesin. Goodbye for now.